Good morning, everyone. Welcome. If you would please turn your attention to the announcements up front.
Real Life Christian Church has the opportunity to bring blessings to many families in our area. We've collected names of families from some local school guidance counselors who could use some extra help for Christmas. Please consider making a donation above and beyond your regular contributions and designating that donation for Christmas for Kids. Together, let's make Christmas truly special for these deserving families. Saturday, December 14th is going to be a big day at Real Life Christian Church. Do you have a dog who likes to show off? Well, please sign up to participate in the We Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. You can sign up in the lobby or contact Donna Andrew. We're also going to have a cookie contest, so we are calling all bakers. We have categories of decorated iced cookies, sweet and simple, or a gingerbread house. You'll need to make approximately 6 dozen sample-sized cookies or 1 gingerbread house. We're going to give away samples from 10 to 10:30, so sign up by contacting Donna Andrew. Bring your family and see an enchanting Christmas village in the Real Life Christian Church field on Saturday, December 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can sample delicious hot chocolate, enjoy a hot dog, view the nativity scene, pet the farm animals, and cast your vote for the best Christmas cookie in the contest. Be sure not to miss the We Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. The kids can jump for joy in the bounce house after making a Christmas ornament. This is free for everyone, and we wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
GTO has planned another Woman's Evening Out at the Fabulous Fox Theater in Atlanta. We will be heading to the Fox on Thursday, February 27th to see the 7:30 showing of Mamma Mia. Tickets for this show are $66. We do have limited seats reserved, and at this time we have 4 seats remaining. So if you would like to attend this event, please contact the church office. Thank you.
One, two, intro, 2, 3, 4. Intro.
Verse 1. after Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's December, and the trees are up. That means I can legally play Christmas music now. So that's what we're doing today. So, if you will bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, as always, thank you so much that we get to come here today. Thank you for this wonderful time that we get to just dedicate to the gift that you sent us. And we make that our time of gift giving. Your son grew up to be an amazing man, and he taught us how to pray to you. So we're going to do that today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
One, two, three. Intro, two, three. Intro. Vamp. Verse 1.
Although I know there's a lot of us that started a few weeks ago, as Kenny mentioned earlier, many people traditionally put out their Christmas lights just after Thanksgiving. But why is it that we celebrate Christmas with putting up of lights? I think that answer's rather simple. That's because Jesus is light. Isaiah 9:2 tells us the people are walking in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. 2 Corinthians 4:6 tells us God once said, "Light, let the light shine out of darkness." And this is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts. He gave us this light by letting us know the glory of God that is in the face. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was light for the people of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered the light. The true light was coming into the world. The true light gives light to us all. John 3:19 says, Jesus said, people are judged by this fact. I am the light from God that has come into the world. He who follows the true way comes to the light. Then the light will show the things that he has done, were done through God. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Jesus is here now, standing before us, reaching out to us. Let's hand over the sin that sometimes clings to us and cares of the world that trouble us. Let him purify us now from our sin, that we may not walk in darkness, but in the light of his life. I have a number of psalms here that I want to read, but this is going to be the communion prayer. So pray with me. Psalm 4:6 says, let the light of your face shine upon us, Lord. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. Psalm 118:105 says, into the time of offering. This is Christmas, and we offer gifts and give gifts to others as a representation of what the incredible gift that God gave us through his son Jesus Christ on Christmas morning. And as we go through and give gifts, take a second to really think about how can we truly spread the word? How can we truly show the light of Jesus? And one of the ways you can help with that is through the many ministries of this church. And you can see on the slide that there's lots of different ways that you can help with that through Venmo and Zelle and PayPal. You can also donate through donation boxes in the lobby or mail in a check. Text. So as we move into this time of offering, let's remember that it's important to do that with a joyous heart, because giving is gifts that you give us each and every day, just for the very breath that you put in our lungs and allowing us to wake up this morning. Thank you for everything that you give us. Please help us to take just a portion of that and give back so that we can continue to spread and be the church. Lord, bless these offerings and multiply them so many times over like you did those loaves and fish. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Everybody just full of turkey and still asleep, right? I might have eaten just a little too much, but I promised you I would not preach on gluttony after Thanksgiving. So, lots of things going on here. I mean, really, we've got the giving tree where you can come and put your scarves and hats and decorate our tree, and we will give them to the homeless. And then we've got the Christmas RLCC Christmas, where we've got a little over 70 kids that we're giving gifts to, and you can contribute to that. I've got the Advent series that we started last week, and if you were a part of that, you missed out. It was really good, and you're going to get an email this week with another advertisement for the second week. It's on Tuesdays at 6:30. All you got to click the link and join us. It's from your living room. You don't even have to turn your camera on. I don't care if I see you or not. You can sit there in your pajamas or whatever, but if you look really bad, please don't turn it on. Then, with everything else that's going on in our life, we got to talk about these ugly Christmas sweaters, right? And we're going to talk about ugly thoughts. Anybody ever have any ugly thoughts? If you had some today, this morning, I mean, I know you were on the road. Maybe before you even got out of bed. And we're going to begin this new series called The Ugly Christmas Sweater. And maybe you have a tradition like a lot of people of having some festive party with friends and everybody choosing the ugliest, most obnoxious, or gaudy sweater they can find. Right? And this party usually involves jingle bells, candy canes, lights, puff paint, ribbons, and bows. Somebody's going off. But it's fun to drink cider and eat cookies while looking as goofy as possible, right? I mean, that's just what we do. And it's become a bit of a cultural phenomenon, and it's supposed to be a lot of fun. And there are a lot of people who love to wear ugly Christmas sweaters. So they love to go to their parties, and what I have found is that some people choose to embrace ugly attitudes along with their ugly sweaters. Boy, everybody just got quiet. Isn't Christmas meant to be a time of joy and happiness based upon the birth of our Savior Jesus? Yet we let bad attitudes and thoughts take over. The fact is, all of the greatness of Christmas and the joy gets lost in, you know, ugly thoughts, ugly words, ugly motives, and ugly actions. It just gets lost, especially if you're in Walmart on Black Friday, right? You forget what Christmas is all about. and it can ruin your whole month. But this Christmas, things can change. And you can celebrate Jesus the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you live toward the people around you. And it'll make a difference in the way you feel about the holidays. The first week of this series, we want to focus on our thoughts, because let's just face it, everything starts up here, doesn't it? Everything starts with our thoughts, because our words and actions originate here before they're expressed. You got to think it before you say it. People say, "I said that before I thought." That's a lie. No, you thought it, and then you opened your mouth, and it just came out. You can't put it back. So if we can catch them, however, if we can catch these thoughts within us, and we have a good chance, along with the Spirit of God and the power that He gives us, to rewire our thoughts and help us live lives that are a joy and blessing, not only to us, but to everyone around us. But that has to start by rewiring our mind. Now, if you're as old as I am, or older, then your mind is pretty well wired up. You know, you are pretty well set in your ways, aren't you? Just say yes. Yeah, I am the way I am, and that's just the way I am. Does that sound right? I'm just me, and you can either like me or hate me. It's up to you. But when we get to that point, it can be tricky and difficult to make that transformation and be rewired. You know, a lot of us are just like this guy. You ever been this guy? Get out your Christmas lights. Because this is one of the most difficult parts of all the things we do, Christmas lights. If you're like me, I'm not the guy who neatly winds them up so they come out real good. I wad them up and throw them in a tub. And then when I get them out, I go, "Oh, goodness." You ever done that? Yeah. And then you finally get it all out and you prepare them to really light up the house, and it never fails. There's one bulb that's broken or doesn't work, and the whole strand goes dark. You remember that? Yeah. How many of you have been mad this week because of it? It can be quite shocking to try to find that. And I mean that literally. One time we were in Virginia, and I had net lights for our house, and I had them on these bushes, and one light wouldn't come on, so I brought it in. I set it on my lap in the floor, and I plugged it up. Well, there was a bare wire there that I didn't know. It lit me up, and I might have said some things I ought not to, putting up Christmas lights. You know, that kind of day. Well, it's amazing how one little thing can ruin a string of lights. You know, you untangle them, and you trace till you find it, and then you finally rewire and replace the bulb, and then everything starts working again, and you think, yes. But rewiring our minds can be just as tedious and time-consuming and daunting. Often we take years to formulate our thought process in the difficult places where our mind goes, don't we? You have a default place, don't you, that your mind goes to? We all do. We get frustrated and our mind goes there. Is that a good place? Most of us are going, nope. It's usually not a good place because I'm frustrated. But we got to rewire our minds so that we can correct that thought pattern. The scriptures often speak of our thoughts as a way of rewiring our lives, and the honest is, the two, our thoughts and our actions, are forever connected. Paul writes the church in Philippi, and in his closing thoughts of the book of the Philippians, you know, and here's what I found out about Paul. Often in the closing, he said a whole bunch of stuff and all the rest of it, and then he winds it all down to what he really wanted to say in the last paragraph. He's like us. He had to go all the way around the woodshed two or three times to get to what he wanted to say. And here's what he says in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, Right there you won't go, what? And then he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, guard your hearts and your minds. Paul gives them a very, very clear command, though, in the first verse. Rejoice. Are y'all happy to be Christians? Yeah. Then why don't you live like it? We should live like it, shouldn't we? People should see that all the time. Paul was familiar with all the reasons his listeners would have to grumble. He understood. He understood that they had reasons to complain and be frustrated or dismayed. There's always going to be something to frustrate you. We live in a fallen world. Guess what? It's frustrating. And it can make you mad. It can make you upset. And the truth is, we often have these grumbly, dismayed, crazy, out-of-touch feelings. These are feelings, they affect our thinking, don't they? And they make us anxious. They make us question God, even. They make us want to give up. And guess where it all begins? In our minds, in the way that we think. However, Paul offers a method of rewiring. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Sounds easy, doesn't it? And we're all going, but Paul's not going through what I'm going through. You need to go back and see what happened to Paul. You'll realize he had more reason to complain and grumble than any of us. Yet he says, rejoice. Even in the midst of all the reasons we give for negativity, choose to rejoice. Why? Because of the Lord. Rather than be anxious, bring these reasons for anxiety to the Lord in prayer. And he's near after all, right? You believe that. You believe God is near. So why wouldn't you come to him with prayer? It's all the reason to rejoice. Paul even offers a promise with this. If we do this, if we rejoice in the Lord, we'll have the peace of God. We'll guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The peace. Don't you want peace? I don't know about you, but I hate living in turmoil. But I have found out that when my life's in turmoil, I tend to make more turmoil. I tend to make it worse because I can't keep my big mouth shut. When I could rejoice and have a totally different outcome. Rejoice. One little thing I've noticed is our lives could be a lot different if we began with all the reasons to rejoice rather than focus on the reasons for frustration. Wouldn't your life be better if instead of focusing on what frustrates you, you focused on what you have to rejoice over? Paul goes on in Philippians 4:8 and he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What are you dwelling on? I mean, really, what is it in your mind that you think on? Because I know it can ruin you. It can ruin your whole life if you dwell on it. It can ruin the people around you's life if you dwell on it. But if you're dwelling on the good thing, not only does it make your life better, it makes everybody around you better. We're given clear direction where our thinking and mindset should go. Paul said, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, focus on this stuff. Focus on that. Of all the things during Christmas, what is the most true, most noble, most right, most pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? That's what you should be focusing on. If we could discover that one thing, perhaps our thoughts could be transformed from ugly to beautiful before they ever result in an action that we have to live with. Don't you wish you'd have done this a few times in your life? I know I do. I wish I'd have stopped and rejoiced instead of reacting. I wish I'd have stopped and seen the positive instead of reacting. But in order to do this, we have to think differently than we did before. And it's hard to change the way you think. We have to have a one-track mind. Now, I know y'all are thinking, "No, what are you talking about, Kirby?" Because some of y'all have said that before. You got a one-track mind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thinking about the right things. And this one thing is found in a passage from the Christmas story. And in Luke chapter 2, right after Jesus' birth, think about that. That's the incarnation of God. Right after the incarnation of God, there are shepherds in the field watching their sheep. And they don't have a clue what has just happened. And angels appear to them. Now, I don't know about you, about the time they appeared, I'd have been running over the hill. It scared me half to death. But here's these shepherds, lowly shepherds. You know, shepherds were the bottom of society. They were the bottom of society. They worked in the barns, so to speak. And we read this in Luke chapter 2. It says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. I can't read it as well as Linus, you know. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. See, that's where we'd probably passed out. And they were terribly frightened. Now, get it? They're scared. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Would you think about that for a minute? Christ the Lord. They understood that the most true, most noble, most right, most pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy news brought into the lowly shepherds in a field at night. It was right there. It's what they call the good news. The good news, or the good tidings. And we can also understand this as the gospel, the good news. Your Savior is here. The good news to focus our minds and thoughts is that a Savior has come to rescue the world from the destructive forces of evil and sin. That's the good news and what we should be focusing on for Christmas. That's what Christmas is really about. Isn't it? This is worth rejoicing about and keep it in the forefront of not only the minds of the shepherds, but we should do that as well. You know, the Jewish people have been waiting hundreds of years for a Messiah, the Christ. Someone who would come and free them from the bondage of the Roman government as well as the bondage of sin and death, and that time had finally come. There was an unknown author that wrote the following, and I think it says it the best. If our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Our greatest need has always been to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sinful state. Forgiveness for the sins that we commit. And a chance at a new life. That's the good news. A Savior came to forgive you and give you a chance at a new life. Something different than the one you've been living. One where there is joy and rejoicing because you understand you have been saved. The birth of Jesus was the good news, and you can receive that today. This is the reason Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Because of the birth of a baby who was the God who came near us in the flesh. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas for all the other reasons too. There's nothing better than Christmas candy, you know what I mean? Christmas candy and hot chocolate and Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life. We watched It's a Wonderful Life the other day, and it was like I was in my mode, you know? I mean, I've had my Christmas decorations up since November 1st. But it's not about those decorations. It's about Jesus. It's about my forgiveness, my salvation, the good news. The book of Psalms offers us a clear way to keep this mindset in the holidays as well with, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." The writer is reminding himself to be grateful, isn't he? Didn't we just finish a whole series on gratitude? We have Thanksgiving and then Christmas. It's rightfully the way it should be. We should be focusing on our gratitude, but our gratitude should be that of the benefits of knowing Jesus. He is rewiring his mind towards the things of God instead of the things of this world. He's keeping himself from being an ugly Christmas sweater by remembering, and I love what he pens at the end. He says, "Forget not all his benefits." Have you remembered the benefits you got from the Savior? Do you know what that benefit is? It's eternity in heaven. You see, Joy does not precede gratitude, does it? Gratitude precedes joy. It doesn't work the other way. Joy comes when you approach this world with gratitude. Sometimes we think when we get all the things we want, we'll finally be joyful. Sometimes we think that once things go our way, then we can be joyful. And that's totally backwards. There are people all over who have more than enough and things always go their way and they're miserable. Hollywood shows us that, doesn't it? We have to keep it always before us and realize that it is God's blessings in our lives that we need to focus on. Wow. Hello, God. Right? So, man, you can hear me now. And it's through gratitude, though, that our anger and frustration can turn towards love. Do you know that? Any of you dealing with a lot of frustration? If you went Black Friday shopping and you didn't come home frustrated, you are a great Christian. Leslie went Black Friday shopping and I went deer hunting. Simple. I met them for lunch. It's a whole lot more peaceful out there not shooting anything. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. But we have to become good at reminding ourselves of God's blessing. We have to keep it before us and find practical ways to influence our thoughts in a positive way before they become words and actions. It's through gratitude that our anger and frustration turns to love. And for many, this Christmas and every Christmas for a while now has brought sadness. Maybe this is the first year that you have Christmas without a loved one that you lost. Or maybe it's the first Christmas where you're dealing with an illness or sickness you've been diagnosed with. Maybe you've lost your job and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet and even have Christmas. And it's hard. Circumstances are not always the best, are they? But the key to getting through this time of mourning, this time of hardship, is to remember the blessings of all the Christmases you had with those people, or the ones that you're going to have remembering people, or the blessings that you have in front of you. We can't forget. For the beginning of this series, I want to invite you to take some reflective time to consider all of the reasons you have to be joyful. I worked in the home health field for many years, and I would come into people's homes, and they would be on the last part of their lives, and some of them, they were totally distraught. And the first thing I would say is, can you name me one thing you're thankful for today? And they could always find something. And sometimes it was just a memory. And I would say, let's focus on that. Let's thank God for the blessings we had. I had one little guy. He was stuck in the bed for 20 years. He'd been in a car accident. And we got him a little DVD player that he could set on his bed. And he could raise it up and he could watch Christian movies on that little DVD player. And he became so thankful. And he thanked God every day that somebody cared enough to get him a little DVD player with a 7-inch screen. And he thanked God for that. But maybe you need to take the time. Get you a post-it note. And write down the things you're thankful for if you're struggling this year. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's a meal. And stick it in places that will remind you, on the refrigerator, the bathroom mirror, wherever you need to, in the car. Sometimes we need the most thankfulness in the car, especially around Atlanta. But it will remind you of the blessings that you have. And maybe this one little thing that you write on the right note could light up your Christmas like never before. It might make a difference. You may have an opportunity to be joyful when you never thought you could. You realize it's always been the plan of our loving Father. And he set our salvation into play over 2,000 years ago through a young engaged virgin named Mary. And her incredibly brave and loyal to God husband Joseph, who stuck with her through it all. And they had the courage to step up to the task of bringing a Savior into the world in a lowly stable and placed him in a manger where they used to feed sheep and the other animals. Do you have the courage to step out and remember the love that was shown you as we celebrate the season of Christmas? Can you get past those ugly thoughts and focus on the thought of God coming into this crazy world that we live in? And he didn't come down here as a rich king. He came down here as a very poor baby born in a barn. He lived most of his life basically homeless, wandering around telling people how much God loved them. You know, for some of us, it's time to have the courage to come forward. To come forward and give your life to Him. But it takes courage in this world to live a life rejoicing. It takes courage to stand up and say, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the one true God. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Do you have that kind of courage? You see, it's all in the way that we think. Set your thoughts on the things above, and don't allow the trauma of this world to take away your joy. because it costs too much. It costs Jesus everything to give you this incredible gift of salvation. He suffered terribly so that you and I wouldn't have to. You'll never outgive him. But you have to choose to accept his gift. And this is your opportunity. And maybe you've made that decision a long time ago and you have found yourself struggling to rejoice anyway. This is an opportunity for you too to come back and say, you know, Lord, I know this world is hard, but I know heaven's going to be worth it. I'm going to choose to rejoice in my Savior. Will you choose today? Choose, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Attack those crazy thoughts that we have and replace them with Jesus. And let's do that as we stand and sing.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Been with us. It's been really good. Now, you don't want to miss next week. The kids are going to sing for us. Yeah. The little ones are going to sing for us. Not the teenagers, but the little ones are going to sing for us. So it'll be really good. Also, don't forget, we got a lot of things coming up. And if you are not getting emails from us and you want to like join us for the Right Now media study that we're doing on Advent and things of that nature, stop and see Leslie on your way out and give her your email address so we can make sure you get it. So you can join us. Also, and one more thing is the 14th. We're having the Christmas Village out there. And we need help. So there are sign-up sheets out here in the coffee lobby for you to sign up for various things to help us with that. Because, I mean, somebody's making 6 dozen cookies. And if you make chocolate chip, put them in my office. And we'll make sure they don't get out there. All right. Yeah, we got the Christmas background out there. You can go out there and get your picture took. Hey, you know what? Christmas is a busy time of year, but we're really focusing on Jesus, right? Amen. And it wouldn't make any good for you to come in here and sing songs and do all this if we don't dismiss from here and go be the church. Because what matters is what we do when we leave here, not what you do while you're here. So let's go do that. Let's be real life Christian church to this world. All right. I'll be up here for a few minutes afterwards if you need to talk. So, Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads. Dear God, thank you for this service that we got to come to. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for sending your son that he could make all of our lives better. Please watch over those that are still traveling. I know there's a lot of them. Just watch over us as we go into this period of giving, and just keep all of our hearts open so that we can go out there and be the church in your name. So thank you for everything you do in your name.